Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply. This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is a podcast that seeks justice. Justice for the lives stolen by those in society that hide amongst us every day. Hidden in our towns, cities, and countrysides, the places that we work, and sometimes in our very own homes. This is Hidden Killers.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thank you for joining us. Very interesting video being released today in the trial of Alec Murdaugh. It's a video of the police grilling Alec Murdaugh 3 days after his wife and son were shot to death. Now, you probably remember about a week or so ago, or maybe a little bit further back than that, the initial video was released of the interrogation of him on his property as they were beginning the investigation into the murder of his wife and son. 3 days later, they came back, wanted to kind of go over it again, see if the details matched up. And in this video, we see another version of Alec Murdaugh. It's been a few days. The shock maybe has worn down a little bit, if there really truly was shock. That's your guess being as good as mine. But we're going to play this full encounter for you. This is a little more than an hour long. So get your detective ears on, if you will, and get ready to hear Alec Murdaugh answering some very crucial questions in this case as he faces some intense questioning from investigators just 3 days after the slayings of his wife and son. Here's an inside look at those crucial early moments of the investigation and the pressure faced by the disgraced lawyer. Let's go right to that audio. Take a listen.
Can I take this call really quick?
Yes, sir. Go
this
right
is
ahead.
My sister-in-law.
Yes, go ahead.
And she's trying to Hey, Mary. Okay, Lynn, I'm meeting with law. I mean, Mary, when I meet with law enforcement, so I'll call you in just a minute.
Thanks. I don't have a card.
That's fine.
Did Chelsea call you? Okay. Okay. Can you let Chelsea know and then make her run Lynn down? Okay, well, tell her to go get Christy to find Lynn. Get any one of the secretaries to find her.
June Griffin.
All right. Thank you. Sorry to put that on you. Bye.
Sorry about that. That's all right. One thing I want to do before we start is I'd like to get a cell phone exam so we can just corroborate everything. Let me get a consent, and I got a guy here that's going to do it.
Are you going to download it now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great.
So I'll get to keep my phone?
Yes, sir.
Good.
How much attorney-client privilege stuff is on there?
A lot.
Okay. We do have a taint attorney that's going to examine it before we ever do.
What is a taint attorney?
A taint attorney. They look at somebody who's not affiliated with the case that makes sure that there's... Jim, do you know?
Yeah,
can
sure.
you explain it better?
Sure. I mean, it's a privilege attorney that doesn't... If there is attorney-client privilege information, it's redacted or extracted by the taint attorney.
How do they know who's a client?
I know.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Whatever
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
You know what?
But
if y'all get some attorney-client stuff.
That is, you know, would go through me. And
so, signature.
Just write your name here.
So, Alec, I've had situations where.
It's not a big deal.
Give me a list of all his clients or something like that, you know.
I'll fill out the rest.
You know, I think the big thing, Joe, is, I mean, when you download that phone, if I don't know if emails come with it or not, because that's probably where all this attorney-client privilege stuff is.
And we can actually isolate the emails.
Yeah, that's probably the thing. You don't text my clients,
right? No, I do. I text a lot of clients.
Okay.
I'm not a big emailer.
Is that an 11 or 12, or do you know?
I do not know.
Okay.
I can tell you that the case for you, if you want me to. Look at the back, it should have a number.
Give me Sean Lennon.
Yeah, what was your date of birth again, Mr. Murdoch?
27/68.
And the last four of your social.
Don't get old. doesn't say anything on it.
But most of the new ones don't.
Probably have to open it up.
Oh, well, this guy.
Jim, you want to witness that for me, please?
Yeah. And if you got a passcode or...
My passcode is...
I'll write it on there.
Start at the bottom 9, go up 9669.
9669.
Yes, sir.
All right, let me run this to him. I'll be right back.
Where are you from, sir?
I'm actually from Barnwell.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, sir.
I got some cousins in Barnwell.
I got people in Barnwell, too. Mixon.
Mixon Oil?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was my...
You kin to Dickie Mixon?
I don't know. You know, that... Mixon Oil, my Uncle Ray Mixon, and his son Teddy and Bobby and a bunch of them. Then Freddie Mixon, he was
I knew Freddie Mixon very well.
And his wife Ella and Jill's my
goes, Mr. Freddie goes to Elko Church.
Yeah, not anymore, he did.
I mean, he went
well, he did.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was at his funeral. He had a tiger paw casket at the funeral. He's a big Clemson guy.
You know Big John Bedingfield, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
I know John.
That's my cousin.
Okay.
In Sweet Caroline.
John's son and my son are the same age. They were in school together.
So you grew up in Barn?
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. So he's got it and he's taking care of that.
But I get it back.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, sir. So when we spoke the other night, I got kind of a basic overview.
Yes, sir.
And it was pretty traumatic.
That's okay. Need to ask me. You ask me what you need to.
So I want you to, let's start Monday morning and take me through your day.
Monday morning, did I do Monday morning? My wife and my older son had gone to the baseball games that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I really can't remember what I did Monday. I know I went to work,
okay.
But, I think I was dragging a little bit from the weekend, mm-hmm. But I went to work. I usually mess around on my farm, and then I go to work. I was at work.
Okay.
Were
you at the office in Hampton? Or?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. So I was at my office in Hampton. I was just at my office doing
legal work.
Yes, sir. I'm sure I can go back and probably recreate some specifics, mm-hmm. if you need me to, but I can't sit here and recall on the top of my head exactly, mm-hmm. what I was working on. I know one thing I was working on was we had some big motions coming up in a Dominion Energy case. I was getting ready for those. And I was getting ready for some motions. I'm a defendant in a civil case involving my son. I told you about, mm-hmm. the boat wreck.
Yes, sir.
And there were some motions coming up in that on Thursday, and I was mostly just getting ready for those things, and
okay.
then other junk.
What time did you leave the house to go to the office?
I'm not sure.
Who all was at the house when you left?
To go to my office, yes. that morning?
Or when you got up, who was at the house?
I'm sure my wife was. And I can't remember if Blanca had made it out there yet or not.
And who was Blanca?
Blanca is our housekeeper.
Okay.
And she comes, mm-hmm. different. She doesn't have set hours, but she comes most days. She'll be able to tell you if I,
yeah.
was there when she left or not.
Okay.
I can't remember.
And so you went to the office, you did, some motions. What time did you leave the office?
I left a little bit earlier than normal because my son Paul was coming home.
Okay.
Because he had not been with us during the weekend, and he was coming home. We were going to replant some sunflowers the next day.
Okay.
And so he was calibrating, doing, and getting everything ready. So he got home a little early. I left a little early, so he and I could knock around, and we knocked around for, just doing things we like to do out there.
Okay.
We're riding around looking at food plots, looking for hogs, a little bit of target shooting, just bullshit.
Yeah. You said Paul wasn't with you over the weekend. Where does he live with you at the house on Moselle?
Well, I mean, that's his home, but
yeah.
he has an apartment in Columbia.
Okay.
And he goes to Charleston a lot of weekends with his buddies.
Okay.
And he had been in Charleston for the weekend.
Okay.
And then Paul works for my brother John, that's,
mm-hmm.
out here. You met John.
Yes, sir.
So Paul works for him. So Paul decided to go to, he went to spend the night with my brother, his Uncle John. They were very, very close.
Okay.
Sunday night.
Okay.
And then he worked for John Marvin, and he came home Monday afternoon.
Okay. About roughly what time in the afternoon?
I would think it'd be somewhere in the 5 o'clock range, a little bit. It was broad daylight when we were, it wasn't dusk, dark, or late.
Okay.
And we rode, we just rode around. We rode, mm-hmm. around our dove field looking at how the corn was doing. He and I had planted corn in the dove field, and he planted the corn in the duck pond, and he was, showing me how much better his corn was doing than mine was. And we rode around the duck pond. I mean, we just, we rode the property.
Yes, sir.
We rode the property. Then, I mean, we rode around so much. We just rode.
Okay.
Probably. It was a good little while. It was more than 20 minutes or 30 minutes. Okay. And, you know, was it 2 hours? I don't know. I'd say it was more than an hour, probably.
Really wasn't keeping track of time.
And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't getting dark. Mama wasn't home yet. She had gone to a doctor's appointment. So, you know?
Yeah. Just out of curiosity, target practice, what y'all shooting?
Just a little bottle. You mean what gun?
Yeah.
A 22 okay. Magnum.
Rat shot.
I think. No, it wasn't rat shot. I think he shot two times and I shot one time.
Okay. So after y'all got finished riding around, try to take me through the rest of the evening.
All right. You know, at some point we were all back at the house together.
Mm-hmm.
Maggie had gotten home and, you know, we sat down and we ate supper, which we usually eat supper together. The one thing I remember, I don't know how much detail y'all want, so if I start talking about something that you don't need, just tell me and I'll move to something else.
The more detail, the better, sir.
So Paul has been having high blood pressure,
mm-hmm.
and his mama was worried sick about it. So we were actually, you know, this was a direct thing getting him, he doesn't like to go to doctors, making him go get his blood pressure checked. His feet had swollen up recently.
Wow.
So, you know, that was a big, huge deal.
Okay.
You know, we hung around the house for a little while. I know that Maggie went to the kennels. I don't know exactly where Paul went, but he left the house too.
Okay. How did Maggie get down to the kennels?
I don't know exactly, but on normal occasions, she would drive a buggy, drive a four-wheeler, or very common for her to walk.
Okay. How about Paul? What's...
Paul wasn't much of a walker, but he would use all of the others.
Okay.
But, it could be anyway, okay. You know? I don't know exactly. I wish I could help you with that.
So they left and went down to the kennels?
Well, Maggie went to go to the kennels.
Okay, Paul left.
And I'm assuming Paul left because of, you know,
gotcha.
What happened. I mean, I'm assuming Paul went to the kennels.
Okay. And what did you do once Maggie and Paul left?
I stayed in the house.
Okay.
And I was watching TV, looking at my phone, and I actually fell asleep on the couch.
Okay. And what time did you...
You know, I don't know
exactly
what time I woke up, but when y'all get my phone, you know, I think one of the first things I did when I got up was call Maggie,
mm-hmm.
because I was going to my mom's.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I texted her because I checked my phone. And what time did we say the text was, Jim? It's like 9:06.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, I got it written down from the other night.
I showed you the other night,
yes,
didn't I?
Yes, sir. I got this.
So, you know, I texted her. So I called her just before that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, she didn't answer at that point. And I left to go to my mom's.
Okay.
Y'all will just have to look. I'm not sure if I called Paul.
Well,
or not.
And that's why we're getting the phone so we can nail down the times and everything.
So I left, drove. You know, I'm gonna tell y'all this, even though I think it's kind of crazy. You know, I was certain that I heard them pull up. I mean, I was positive that I heard. And people don't just come out there. You know, we don't get like pass through. I was certain that I heard them pull up, but they didn't.
Okay.
Well,
if you heard something pull up, what did it sound like?
You know, I can't tell you what it sounded like. I just know that I thought that my wife had pulled up, had pulled up.
Would it have been the buggy that she normally drives, or would it be a car?
No. I had the impression that a car pulled up.
Okay.
You know. And
had you woken up by that time, but hadn't left for your mom's?
Yep.
Okay.
And But it wasn't much time in between there because I left pretty damn close. It wasn't much time between me waking up and me leaving the house.
Okay.
And when I went outside, you know, there's a cat, a wild cat that lives around that house. Okay. I'm pretty sure it was the cat that ran from my car. But, you know, I never had the impression it was a person, but there was something.
Okay.
You know, but I really don't think, you know, I'm just throwing that out there because it was in my mind.
Yeah, nope, that's fine.
All right.
That's totally fine.
I left. I drove to my mom's. I checked on my mom.
She lives right out here, correct?
She lives at Alameda. Okay. Checked on my mom. Talked with Shelly for a few minutes. You know,
Shelly is
the caregiver.
Okay.
You know, I know that I called some people on the way there. I know I returned a call from my brother John. I know that I called Chris Wilson. I know that I talked to Buster. So I made a few phone calls.
Okay.
And
where was Buster?
Buster was in Rock Hill.
Okay. Is that where he lives or?
No, he lives in Columbia, but he just started a new job. He's going back to law school in January.
Okay.
So he's working a little part-time job with Wild Wings.
Okay.
Through January.
Gotcha.
You know, just kind of killing time. And he was in his girlfriend lives in Rock Hill. She's studying for the bar exam, so he had to be in Charlotte, so he was staying with her in Rock Hill, her and her mom.
Okay.
Can I open this door?
Yes, sir. All right, so
where are we? All right, so then
I left your mom's and making phone calls.
I left my mom's, and I went back home. I got to the house, I went inside, nobody was there. I got in the car, I went back to the kennels, and, you know.
And you, when you went back to the kennels, besides Maggie and Paul, did you see anybody, any cars?
I didn't see anything right then, no, sir.
Take your time.
You know, I saw Maggie and I saw Paul laying down. I knew, you know, I didn't know, you know. I knew it was bad. I went over there and, you know, I saw it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I called 911.
Okay. And what made you decide to go back to the house and get a gun?
I just think the whole scene had me freaked out.
Okay. Did you take your car back up there or did you run up there?
No, I drove.
Okay. And of course the shotgun that we have is the one you brought back.
They were asking me earlier. I'm not sure which one it was.
Jim, it was a 12 gauge. I know. Yeah, Ronnie had a question if it was 12 or 20. It was a 12 gauge.
And it was that camo though, right?
Yes, sir. I think it was the 12 camo Benelli.
Benelli. I think so. But that's about all you got, Benelli out there, right?
And we talked about this a little bit the other night, too. I know Paul had been getting some threats and getting some being assaulted from, you know, the boat. Who stands out in your mind, besides the boat incident, who stands out in your mind that would want to come after Paul and or Maggie?
I mean, sir, I can't think of anybody who would want to go to that extreme, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, he got a bunch of threats, mostly from, you know, I mean, I have no idea.
How would he receive most of those threats?
What do you mean?
I mean, would people call and hang up on him, or no, send him text,
no,
or
it wasn't
social
so much
media?
That no, it was mostly like in-person confrontations, or the ones that I learned about. Now, I suspect his friends can probably tell you about more, because I doubt Paul told me about all of them.
Okay.
But I knew about a lot of them. You know, there were a lot of times where people would come up to him and he'd be like, they'd say something about, you know, you gonna tell me who was driving that boat, or you little piece of shit, were you driving that boat? You know, stuff like that.
Okay. Who did he go to Charleston with on the boat that weekend?
I don't know exactly. I know that, I know who his buddies are, but specifically who was on the boat with him, I'm not sure.
Okay.
You know, but I can give you a list of names of who it probably was.
So, Joe, I don't know if you want me to weigh in here. You may want to put your pens down, but a good buddy of mine's son went fishing with me yesterday out in the ocean, and he has a best friend, and his dad's name is Lee Chapman, but...
Yeah.
The kid said, Lee's son said, that Paul slept on his couch in Charleston two nights before he was murdered. And so it's Lee Chapman's son. I can get his name. You probably know Lee's son. I don't know. But he goes to the cinema. But that's where Paul was.
Okay.
And I learned that yesterday out on a fishing trip, which is by happenstance.
Well, cool. I mean, yes, sir. If you could get me Lee Chapman's son's contact information.
There was a bunch of Chapman cousins that Paul was very close with. The closest one being Wills Chapman and Frank Chapman.
Wills Chapman is his name, but I'll get your number for
him. Frank is John Chapman's son, and Wills is Lee Chapman's son.
Yeah, okay. That's where you want.
And those boys are, you know, they're just really good boys and friends of Paul's.
And one of them is Wills with an S, right?
That's right.
And Wills goes to the Citadel? That you understand?
No, he's graduated from.
Graduated from.
Okay. And Frank was in the Citadel, but I think he had some kind of, you know, academic troubles. But I'm telling you now, mm-hmm. I can promise you that. I mean, those boys love Paul.
Well,
absolutely.
Well, you know, and I just want to talk to him about their weekend and.
Sure.
Yeah.
I can tell you this: in riding around with Paul, he was. His normal bright, you know, he was a really great kid.
So, being a dad myself, what was the biggest issue you had with Paul when you had to call him down and scold him or correct him? What was the biggest issue you had with Paul?
You know, irresponsibility, you know, he was ADHD. He was bad about jumping from, and he had so many wonderful qualities now, mm-hmm. but he was bad about jumping from, he'd start this, maybe not quite finish it, move, do something else. And, you know, you'll find out from his friends, he had clothes strung out all over the state. He did that with clothes. He did that with guns. He did that with my boats.
Awesome.
So
he lost what?
He would misplace stuff or just leave stuff behind, right?
Yes, everywhere. I mean, he would go off for the weekend. Sometimes he wouldn't pack clothes because he's got clothes in somebody's house. I mean, Paul was one. He wouldn't understand how you go out. You know, you and a girl go out on a date. He liked the crowd.
Who was his girlfriend?
He didn't have a girlfriend right now.
Okay.
Alex, last time I talked to him was like 2 weeks ago, although we texted. He mm-hmm. was going to Greenville for the weekend. I mean, he had friends up there, girlfriend up there?
No. We had a family. We had a family thing in Greenville, and he came up, Paul didn't play golf. He came up on Friday and stayed Saturday, and then he left to go to Charleston, and we were stayed another day to play golf.
Okay. I thought maybe I had a girl.
My niece on my wife's side is having a baby, okay. And we went up for that.
And you said on Monday Maggie had a doctor's appointment in Charleston. And I know we talked about this on Monday. Do you recall the doctor that she went to or for what the reason was?
Maggie had a couple little things going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally think she was going to see Dr. Gordine, but I'm not positive.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's who it was. I can find out specifically, though. Her mom will know.
Okay. And you said she and Buster were at the ball games all weekend?
Yes.
Would that
with me?
With you? And what ball games?
Carolina was regional.
They didn't make it past those, did they?
No.
Darn it. Did Paul? Well, no. Paul was in Charleston, so he didn't hang out with y'all that weekend.
No, sir.
And what time did Maggie get back home Monday night?
It was after Paul and I had gone. She was not there when Paul and I left to go mess around.
Okay.
So, you know, it was sometime after that. So there was a point when, you know, she got back, we got back.
When y'all got back from riding around and messing around on the farm, was she home or?
Yes.
Okay.
And I don't believe she'd been home too long when.
And what's her car? That Mercedes that's out there?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And you said Bianca had prepared dinner that night.
Yeah, Blanca. Blanca cooked dinner that night because Maggie cooks, you know, when the boys are home, or she tries to really for me, but she wasn't going to be there that day, so she had Blanca cook a meal.
How is your relationship with Maggie?
Very good. As good as it could possibly be. I mean, you know, we had our issues, but wonderful.
And I'm just trying to understand the family dynamic.
I understand you got to do what you got to do, I promise.
What was y'all's biggest arguments? What your biggest argument, the things that y'all would argue about the most, what would they be over?
I mean, we really didn't argue, but the basic, I'd say the only thing that caused any friction between us is she was always wanting us to go, and I love her in-laws. I mean, they're wonderful people. Mm-hmm. I love them to death. She was always wanting to go there, stay there a little longer than me and the boys wanted to stay. That was really, and it really, you know, she'd get ticked off.
Yeah.
You mean her family? You said her in-laws. You mean her family?
I mean her family.
Your in-laws, yeah.
I mean, we really didn't argue about much. We didn't have much to argue about. I mean, I'm sure there was an occasional thing that came up that we argued about, but mm-hmm. I can't tell you what it is. I can't think of it.
Yeah. Take your time. Go. Tissues.
I'm sorry.
You go.
I mean, she was a wonderful girl and a wonderful wife. And she was a great mother. She, you know, she didn't work. And she always said it was her job. She was privileged enough not to work. She was going to make sure she took care of me and the boys. And I mean, she did everything. She did absolutely everything. I'm sorry.
No, you have every right to do that.
I'm good. You go ahead.
that afternoon or during the time you and Paul were riding.
Yes, sir.
Did y'all go up to around the kennels or anything? Did y'all do anything up toward the kennels?
I'm sure we did. You know, that's our main shop is, you know, right there. But, you know, I mean, we're normally in there for long times tinkering. And I will say that particular day, we did not tinker around there a bunch, you know.
Okay. When y'all rode around the farm, what were y'all in the truck or?
Well, we were actually in two trucks. We rode in one truck, okay, and then we rode in another truck some. One was the black one, and one was the white one that was out there.
Okay. Mr. Alec.
Yes, sir.
You know, the other day when we were there, we came in and we were talking with John a little bit.
Sure.
And you obviously got a lot of, I say a lot, you said 20 or 25 weapons.
Yes, sir.
And you know kind of what you got as far as any kind of, what kind of weapons you may have?
I'm pretty much, yes, sir.
I know you might not run them all, but can you kind of run down what you, pull us from kind of what you had, what you got, you know, right there?
That I own or that's in there now?
That you own.
All right. That I own.
That's in there, you know, or wherever they're at.
And, you know, I mean, Paul has guns scattered all over the place. So, you know, some of our guns aren't there. But, so you want to know all of them or you want to know what I think is in my house? Or what was in my house on Monday?
Yeah, what was in your house? Let's start with what was in your house on Monday.
Okay, whatever was in my house on Monday, mm-hmm, is exactly what was there minus one shotgun that I got, that y'all got.
Okay.
No guns have been moved for, you know, there hadn't been any guns moved in and out of there other than when Paul was home. You know, when Paul came home, he would ride around and shoot hogs a lot.
What would he shoot hogs with?
You know, I mean, primarily he would shoot them with Buster's gun. Because Paul had a 300 blackout.
Okay.
And it got, you know, he says it got stolen. You know, and it's been gone for some time. But anyway, so he would use his brother's blackout a lot of times.
So Buster also had a 300?
I gave them both one.
Okay. When was that?
About? Years ago.
Okay. More than a year ago? More than
a year ago.
Okay.
All right, so, but he would do anything. Paul had this, you know, like a little light that I used that night. Paul would take that thing up to, you know, by 308, and I mean he was always rigging something. You know, so
going back.
Sometimes shotguns when he would go try to kill the hogs, because you know the piglets would be grouped up, but normally he would have a rifle when he went to shoot the pigs. So, all right, so going back to the guns, y'all want me to tell y'all what was in there? Don't y'all, I mean, have an inventory?
I videoed the thing. I didn't write down everything that you had. I just took a random, just like a recording of what was on the gun rack or on the gun wall in the gun room. That day.
And there are some more guns that aren't in that gun room, you know. I don't know how many, but,
okay,
you know, like I do know there's a shotgun in my bedroom.
And I think Miss Katie, Agent Katie, walked with John and saw that one.
Okay. And I imagine there's probably some in some other rooms. I know that, I think it was Danae. We have two gun cases, one small one and one big one. And I moved some guns from the little case to the big case just because, you know, her mom and dad were in there, and I just took all the guns to the back room. But that's after the fact.
Would those guns have been in the room, in the gun room, when we came up there with John?
I can't remember exactly when y'all came, but probably. I think y'all came a little bit, because it was a good while before y'all came.
Yeah, it was probably 2 o'clock or so that afternoon before we got here.
Now, did y'all keep any guns out at the kennels?
He didn't keep guns out there, but there were always guns out there.
Okay.
You know? I mean, and I'm going to be honest with you, we were all a little bit bad about it, but Paul was the worst. You know, he was the worst.
He would leave a gun out there?
He would leave anything anywhere. And, you know, it was not unusual for there to be guns out there.
Did y'all take the...
I can tell you that, I mean, they told me that the 300 blackout was used in this. That 300 blackout, you know, it was not out there.
So y'all didn't use that for target practice, or he didn't have it out there with them on Monday?
No.
Okay. No, that's right, because it was in the house. So Paul said that one was stolen or lost, and it was some time ago. Was that reported anywhere?
It wasn't officially reported, because I wasn't totally convinced it was stolen.
Okay.
You know, as opposed to lost. But, I mean, you know, I mean, there were people told about it.
Yeah.
I know that I told John Bedingfield about it. I know that I told some other local officers about it, you know, just in case it turned up in a drug thing.
Okay.
But I didn't do an official report.
Okay.
The two that you bought for the boys, that each one of them had one, and the one Paul lost, is that the only ones that you have?
Well, I'm going to tell you this. I thought that Paul got another one replaced, but Buster said we didn't, but I was certain that we did. But, I mean, my memory is it's been gone for a substantial while, too.
Okay.
Do you remember anything about them as far as, were they the same colors?
They were identical except for colors.
Okay. Which one was Buster's?
Buster's the one we still have. Paul's the one that lost his.
Okay.
What were the two colors?
Black and tan. Buster's is black, Paul's was tan.
Okay. And you say you thought you replaced it after he lost it with another one, but Buster says you didn't.
I believe that we did.
Okay.
I mean, there'll be a record of that, won't it?
Should be, yes, sir.
I know we replaced it. But, you know, I know we replaced it, because I wouldn't replace it again. Maybe I just think that now, I don't know. But I'm certain we replaced it.
Have you talked to C.B. Rowe since Monday or Tuesday?
Yes, sir.
Because I know we talked about what he had done on the farm. Have y'all, is he still employed?
He's still employed because I got to have somebody keeping it clean, but I can't keep him. Mm. I mean, he's an idiot.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know I told you, I don't know why that story seemed important to me the other night.
Yeah.
Well, I really can't see C.B. Rowe doing, I just can't. I really do not believe that.
Well, it's an odd story.
It's a messed up story.
And, you know, and I just, being in law enforcement for so long and working these type cases, and I don't know the Islington area, but talking to Collin and County and seeing the property and how isolated it is, finding somebody that's just going to randomly come up there that late at night that doesn't know the property, you know, that's, so I, of course I have to look within and then start working my way out.
So you feel like it's not random? You feel like it's intentional? I mean, planned?
I don't know what to feel right now. And I hate to say that. I don't know what to feel right now.
So do y'all have any good clues?
All of the evidence that we collected Tuesday morning, and we collected additional evidence on Tuesday afternoon. They collected evidence at autopsy today. So we're trying to put a rush on that to get an answer quick. And hoping that's going to tell us something.
By evidence, I mean, is it things you think are going to be helpful?
Well, I mean, the shot shells out there, the casings, the DNA swabs that we took from the door handle to see if anybody touched the door handles, any other places that we think somebody may have touched while they were out there. You know, we're trying to collect DNA from that and analyze that. Which at the conclusion of this, what I'm going to also ask is that we get a buccal swab, a DNA swab from you.
No problem.
Your DNA is going to be there, no. But we need to eliminate it once it's developed. So, you know,
we don't need that unknown when it actually is a family member.
There's no problem.
I mean, we have talked to close to 100 people trying to track people down, and we're still tracking people down. And that's why, you know, who Paul was with.
I want to tell you one thing while I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
Paul was really an incredibly intuitive little dude.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he was like a little detective. And, I mean, Paul would, you know, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. Which leads me to, let's go back to Paul right quick while we're on him. So we have his phone. Do you know his passcode?
I don't. And I'm going to tell you this right now. There's a few people I can point you to.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that he was super, super, super secretive with that, I mean, cell phone. I asked his brother if he knew it. Did the ones that they got the other day didn't
when
work.
Did y'all get any the other day?
Not for Paul's phone.
No. Okay. Sure. I know they got Maggie's code.
I know Maggie's.
Yeah.
And it works. Or it worked.
Yeah.
I've not gotten it, but there's a lot of people out moving parts that, you know, may have gotten that information. So we'll follow up on it. If you believe somebody gave us a code for Paul's, a possible code for Paul's?
You know, maybe it was Maggie's. I don't know.
Okay.
But I'll find out. I will try to find out Paul's code.
Okay.
But it will surprise me greatly if somebody knows it.
I mean, certainly, you know, talking about the investigation, certainly we're looking at every angle, trying to figure out what fits. And we're talking to, you know, people that were involved in the boat case. We're talking, trying to track down people that Paul knew and were friends with. That's why I asked who he was in Charleston with, so we can go try and see if they might know something or try to figure something out. We're trying to get into his phone to see if there's any information, see if he got like a direct threat from somebody there. I mean, the people that are here are not the only ones working on this. We've got people out doing things right now.
Thank you.
I mean, we're trying to pull everything in. Just the area, Islington, unfortunately, there's not a lot of people moving around. I mean, I've got somebody looking at videos right now back at the office, combing through hours of videos that we've gone out and collected.
Well, thank y'all.
Yeah.
Very much.
So.
Mr. Alec.
You don't have to call me, miss. You just call me sorry. Alec. Thank you for that courtesy.
When you and Paul got back to the house, Miss Maggie's there, and y'all eat supper, which has been prepared, and you said you laid down and took a little nap, and when you got up, Maggie and Paul was gone, or did they leave when you laid down or before?
I believe that I'm not sure.
But they weren't there when you woke up around the 9 o'clock mark or so when you made the call to Maggie to let her know you was going to your
house. No. Nobody was in that house when I left.
So, and just trying to narrow that, the last time that you saw Paul and Maggie's when y'all were eating supper.
Yes, sir.
Up until you came back from your mom's and,
yes,
and found what you found.
Yeah, Alex probably told y'all this. He did check for a pulse.
Yes. Right, and that's why we want to do the DNA. Right. To
suspect their DNA.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh my God. Right.
I don't know.
Yes.
When you tried to turn Paul over, do you know if you tried to turn him like towards the kennels or away from the kennels? And his phone fell out.
Away. I think I turned him away.
Okay. Was he left-handed or right-handed?
He was right-handed.
Where did he normally keep his phone?
I mean, usually in his hand. But, I mean, it was, you know, it was always on him. Pocket, hand, truck.
Where did Maggie carry her phone? Anywhere she could?
Yes, sir. Did y'all get fingerprints on her phone?
I haven't gotten that back yet.
When Paul's phone came out, did you just pick it up and put it on, you know, place it back down on him, or?
You know, yeah, I did not try to open it or anything. You know, I don't know how I had in my mind that I needed to not mess anything up. I had that, you know. Somehow, I had that presence of mind that I needed to not mess anything up. And so, I tried not to.
And you definitely saw a traumatic picture, and I know it's not hard, or not easy. I know it's hard. And sitting here talking today is tough.
It's just so bad. They did it so bad. He's such a good boy, too. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But you know the little things that we've kind of
I understand
is necessary so that we can get a little better picture as to you know to what may have happened.
Well, I just thank y'all for everything. You know, my in-laws, I would like somebody to update me or my brother or somebody so that I can tell them as y'all discover things. Unless there's some reason y'all don't do that.
Well,
I mean, they just have so many questions.
I understand. And
I mean, they may even, well, no, they don't need to do
well,
that.
I mean, how, I know Maggie's mother just had a knee replacement. How was their health overall other than that?
You know, they're ailing a little bit. They're getting on up there. Daddy has some neuropathy, but I mean, they're in good physical health. They're in good, you know, their fortitude is good. They're just, you know, they're just getting age on them, you know?
Sir. Yes, sir. are they in Somerville or are they at the house on Moselle?
No, they didn't. They lived in Somerville.
Okay.
But they're here now.
Oh, they're here in this house?
No, they're in Moselle.
Okay. Because, I mean, I'll go by and speak with them and meet with them. If you think that would help.
I think that would help a tremendous amount if you would just be willing just to sit down and let them. I mean, you know, hearing from me and John Marvin and Danny and whoever, what little tidbits y'all get, I just, you know what, I think it would give them peace of mind to know that y'all got a team of people out there on it.
Yes, sir.
And you know, just to really have something, you know, a tangible person instead of being told.
You got a contact number for them?
Yeah, I'm getting ready to get that.
Okay.
Yeah. Her mom and dad are just such good people. I mean, they're just
doing
wonderful
all that. Some
people.
Of the other guys are back at the office.
Love her so much, and
everybody we can deal with.
It really would make them feel good.
Okay. What what are their names?
A lot of technical.
My father-in-law's name is Terry. Yeah.
But yes, we.
My mother-in-law's name is Kennedy. And they're Brandstetters. And my sister-in-law, who in her...
Spell Brandstetter for me.
Brandstetter. And then my sister-in-law, who was closest to Maggie in the whole world, is Marion Proctor. And her husband is Bart Proctor. And they live in Charleston.
Do you have a contact number for any?
I know their numbers.
Okay.
But it's in my phone.
Okay.
I promise you, Alex, someone. My life depended on it. I couldn't tell anybody, my mother-in-law or father-in-law.
I'm telling you, man, I've been the luckiest person in the world with in-laws. I mean, they are wonderful.
Yeah, I tell people I tell people all the time, it's my in-laws that I like, it's my wife's in-laws I don't.
There you go.
Let me grab a piece of paper. I'll be right back.
A lot of his buddies' numbers in my phone if you want me to dig them up.
And David, I'm gonna forward you this contact. Maybe you don't want me to do it like that, but someone sent me Wills Chapman's
Can you hold on to that, please? Yeah.
contact information. Yeah, I think it's just the phone number. Yeah, all I got was a phone.
All right, so we have victim's advocate, Miss Marion Walker.
Thank you.
That's her cell number.
Thank you.
Here's some information for you on the back. In the Victims Advocate Program, they help with different things. I think more specifically, what would be more beneficial, especially for you and Buster, is some counseling down the road, grief counseling.
You know, I do some assistant solicitor's work.
Yeah.
So,
You're familiar with it.
Familiar with the thing, but thank you so much.
I know y'all planned out the funeral today. When is the funeral?
Tomorrow. Yes, sir.
Okay. Y'all have visit.
We're doing a service tomorrow. Maggie and Paul aren't going to be ready until next week. So we're doing a service tomorrow, and then we're going to have a private family thing one day next week.
Okay. Are y'all doing anything tonight? Because I can run by and talk to Terry and Kennedy tonight.
I think the sooner you can come and talk to them, the peace of mind that would really help them.
Okay.
That's convenient for you. So we're out at the house tonight, but and if for some reason they go back early because of the service tomorrow, they may be staying tonight. They may not be. I'm not sure. Yeah. All of their cousins and family on the Brandstetter side and the Hubbard side is coming in from Kentucky. And so they may be going back to stay with them.
Okay.
I'll find out and call you. I think you called me.
Yes, sir. Jim's got my number.
Okay.
I'll
find out and call you in just a minute.
Okay. You good? All right. Do you have any other questions that I might be able to answer right now that we hadn't gone over?
No, sir.
As soon as I get something, and if it's okay with you, John Marvin asked me to go through him.
That's fine.
So I'm not bothering you in case you're doing something. What time is the service tomorrow?
12 o'clock.
Okay. Where is that going to be?
Hampton.
What, at a church or?
It's Graveside.
Okay. So if I get something around that time, I won't bother you. I'll wait 1:30 and...
If you get anything important, you can call me anytime.
Okay.
Anytime.
Okay. Are y'all going to publicize the service, or is it just going to be for family and friends?
No, sir. It's going to be, it's going to be open, but I got TC and those, making sure there's no, I don't want any press anywhere near.
Yeah.
So, no, they, you know,
they don't deserve to be near.
They're gonna make sure, you know, in the town of Hampton that, you know, there's no press.
Okay. All right, well, y'all got my numbers.
I think you said with that phone, it's going to take a while.
I'm gonna go check on it. Y'all go back in the house. When it's done, I'll bring it to you.
Let me do the...
Oh, the buckle, yes.
Let's do the
buckle swab right quick.
You can sit where you at, yeah. Alex, and I'm going to step out, but I got glove up. And
oh, what?
The buckle. The buckle swab,
oh,
yeah.
Oh. Do I need to spit out my tobacco?
That might be better.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And I'll get everything together.
I'm doing the consent now.
That's fine. I'm going to go ahead and... Where's your gloves at?
You didn't grab gloves?
I did not, but I know one of these vehicles has got gloves. I'm not in mine.
Do I need to get out?
No, sir. You keep your seat right there.
I'm going to stay in his AC then.
Yes, sir. I got the other part. You hear me, Dave?
What's that?
I got the actual one you can write on the envelope.
Okay.
I'll let you fill out the envelope.
I really appreciate you taking the time to come meet with them.
Not a problem. This is what I do.
You ever have any dealings with a sled agent named Jarrett Maffitt?
No, sir, I don't.
You said Maffitt?
Yeah,
I know him.
He lived in that, little green cabin up at my property.
Okay. Is anybody living it now?
No. The kids use it like in the summertime or when they're having parties and stuff like that, you know? But when I first got it, Jarrett was on the highway patrol and he lived there.
Okay.
He was stationed in Hampton County.
That's been a while ago.
It's been a long time. He's a good boy. I think he's a real good officer, too.
David, I already got that one filled out. All you got to do is sign.
Oh, for the consent?
Sorry about that.
Got a gnat flying around, about to fly in my contacts. You, this is the consent for the buckle. Sign right there for me.
Where?
Right here.
Date?
I already got the date on it. Alright. Just throw them up on the dash.
Sorry.
You wait, please.
Thank God.
Did you drop something?
I just dropped that card.
I got another
one. I got it right.
Okay.
This is, you keep seeing, this is a seal swab. No, it's, I'm going to go inside your cheek. There's two swabs.
Just do what you need to do.
All right, there's two swabs. We're going to do one on the right cheek, one on the left cheek. When he finishes that envelope, just seal them back in there, and I'll get you to sign it with me, okay? Right inside your cheek. You got it.
Right. I just don't have gloves on my hand, so I don't want
to.
Do you have any glove right there, please, sir?
My right.
All right, my left, your right.
That it?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Are we done?
Yes.
I'm going to seal that envelope and let you initial it, if that's okay.
Whatever you need.
Break these tips off because it don't fit.
Right
in front of me. It's fine. Oh, my bag.
No.
He filled out the envelope, so I'm just going to seal this up.
You got it? Give me these grabs on.
What's that?
Evidence
tape. No, I got evidence tape. I'm getting up. Sharpie. I'm going to set this right by you, Mr. Kid, so I can see what I'm doing.
A piece of your gun?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Day is the
10th.
16, 20, 21.
Yeah, where do you live?
I'm in Columbia.
Okay.
But I've
if you just initial right beside me, last week,
right here, yes, right there on that red line.
Anywhere you want to say, initial anywhere on that tape.
I don't have very far to go by
this.
I rode by where they're playing that PGA golf tournament. That was a weird looking scene out there. I don't know if y'all rode by there.
That's so.
No, I haven't. I haven't had time.
Nowhere.
1503.
A lot to digest there. Some very interesting moments in that audio. One that stood out to me when the question was being asked. So last time you saw them when you were having supper with them. And there was a bit of a pause. There was a bit of a, yeah, yes, sir. It was a little less confident than some of the other responses. It almost seemed like that kind of, whoa, is this, how does this fit into the plan? Because when you lie about one thing, then you got to lie about another. And the more you lie, you got to lie about the lies. And obviously, that was the world that was crashing down upon Alec at that moment in time. Notice he brought up nothing about the financial crimes and the charges that were being brought at him in his workplace. No, he was getting ready for this case and that case. Not a mention of that. And you'd think that that might be something like, and it's been some trouble at work and I did some bad things, or maybe he wouldn't admit to that yet because obviously he hadn't been charged with anything, but something. There's been some stress at work, some things that you know, that haven't really talked about yet, but it's just been stressful. You know, nothing to that nature whatsoever. It is kind of interesting, though, listening to the verbiage on this. And, oh, you know Mary Sue? His papa and that I guess it's just that part of the country. And I guess in some ways, if you're from that part of the country, it probably is kind of warm and inviting feeling, the way that it's kind of a down-home friendly, but at the same point, it's kind of scary, too, where it's that good old boy thing. And they really still are operating by that code to a very scary level. Thanks for listening to that piece of audio with me. Hope it gave you a little more insight into the case. Keep it here. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any of our breaking updates, discussions, and court coverage in the trial of Alec Murdaugh. We have it all for you right here. You can follow me on Twitter at Tony B Pod. My name is Tony Bruschi. For all of us, thanks for listening.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com, featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply. This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com, featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply. This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com, featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.